if what we're asking is really in keeping with what God wants for our life. So I want to mention two things to you. The second part has three parts to it. And the first one is this. When we come to this whole matter of confidence in prayer, I want to say, first of all, that our confidence in prayer is rooted in our relationship to Jesus Christ. Our confidence in prayer is rooted in our relationship to Jesus Christ. Because prayer is the exclusive right of believers. Prayer is the exclusive right of believers, with this exception. When a person cries out to God for the forgiveness of their sin, when a person is asking God to save them, to bring about the new birth in their life, that is the only exception. Otherwise, prayer, petition, intercession, thanksgiving, praising and worshiping God is the exclusive right of the child of God. He says, you and I can come confidently, boldly before God. And if you'll recall in Hebrews chapter 4, he says that we have an intercessor, Jesus Christ, seated at the Father's right hand, making intercession for us. And it is because of him that the door of access is open to God the Father. And we have access, that is, we have access to God the Father at any moment of our life, at any time, to pray. But how many of us are coming to God the Father, even though the access is there, when we have deliberate, willful, known sin in our life? Listen to what he says. Beloved, if our heart, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God. And whatever we ask, we receive for him. Why? Because we are in the process of keeping his commandments and doing the things that are pleasing in his sight. Therefore, the believer who comes to God in prayer and who comes with confidence will only come because his or her conscience is clear. They are attempting to walk in obedience to God the Father. It is their desire to walk in submission to him, to live according to his will, to live under the lordship of Jesus Christ, to live a life of obedience, a life of rebellion and indifference and independence before God short circuits your confidence in God. So I want to ask you a question. What are you holding on to in your life that is cheating you out of confidence and boldness and faith in coming to God the Father, who has been willing to release his supernatural power in you and to open the gates of the riches and the wealth of heaven for you, but you willing to forsake all of that for sin in your life? You're not thinking. And so what we see in this first point is this, that our confidence in prayer is rooted in what? It is rooted in our relationship to Jesus Christ. But there's a second thing I want you to notice here, and that's this. That our confidence in prayer is directly related to God's will as it relates to that thing for which we are making a request, the thing that we desire. And so when he says, this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us and the thing that we're asking, we know that we have the petition we desired of him. That doesn't mean that we're going to know one of these days, but he says, we know now. Present tense, we know that we have the petition that we desired of him. Now, go back, if you will, to Romans chapter 8. Notice what he says in this chapter. If you recall this wonderful promise, he says in verse 32, he who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how will he not also with him freely give us all things? That is, God wants us to have what is good for us. God wants us to know his will. So when he says here in 1 John, this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, we know that we have the petition we desired of him. So what he's saying in this passage, that we have the right. Listen, he says, we have the privilege and the right to come to him and to know his will. Now, let me give you two illustrations. Now, I want you to listen carefully, lest you misinterpret what I say about Jesus Christ. If you'll turn to Matthew chapter 26, and you'll recall that Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane, and the cross is coming the next morning, and Jesus is praying, and all of us remember what he prayed there, but I want you to read, beginning in verse 38 of chapter 26 of Matthew. Then he said to them, speaking of his apostles, my soul is deeply grieved to the point of death. Remain here and keep watch with me. And he went a little beyond them and fell on his face and prayed, saying, now listen to what Jesus prayed. My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me, yet not as I will, but as thou wilt. Here's the Son of God. It's important that you understand something. When he says, let this cup pass from me, Jesus was not saying, is there any way that I can avoid dying for the sin of mankind? When he says, if this cup may pass from me, what was the cup? The cup was this. The cup represented something that Jesus Christ had never experienced in all of his eternity past. He had never been separated from the Father. What Jesus was asking is, Father, is there any way for me to do this without suffering separation from you? In his humanity, looking at the cross and understanding that he was going to die for the sin of all mankind, and facing the awful, awesome reality that in his perfect, eternal oneness with God the Father, he was going to be separated from him and he would bear upon himself all the sin of mankind, he cried out, Father, is there any way? Is there any way for me to avoid separation from you? If there were some way, that's what he wanted. But if not, he says, thy will be done. Now, let me give you a second illustration. Go back to on over to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. You recall in this 12th chapter a good example of oftentimes the way we find out the Lord's will. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Now, remember that when Paul wrote these epistles, and he gives us illustrations of things that had happened in his life, he's telling us naturally after they've happened. And so it's very important looking at this. So you remember he talks about his weakness, and then he says in verse 7, because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, for this reason, to keep me from exalting myself, there was given me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, to keep me from exalting myself. Concerning this, I entreated the Lord three times that he might depart from me. Now, the Bible says that Paul came to God three times. Now, when he says he entreated him, that doesn't mean that he got down one night before he went to sleep and said, Lord, please take this away. Paul entreated God. I believe that more than likely Paul probably fasted and prayed and begged and pleaded with God to take away this thorn of the flesh. He probably said, Lord, I can serve you better if you'll take it away. God, why have you allowed this in my life when I've given my life to serve you and to obey you and to proclaim your truth? God, please take it away. And God didn't take it away. And then if you'll notice, at some time out there, after Paul had prayed and prayed and prayed for God to do it, and God didn't do it, look in verse 9. God finally told him what his will was. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. But power is perfected in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, Paul says, I would rather boast about my weaknesses that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Therefore, I am well content with weaknesses, with insults, distresses, persecutions, difficulties, for Christ's sake. For when I'm weak, then I am strong. What was Jesus Christ saying to the Apostle Paul? Paul, the thorn is distasteful. The thorn is hard. The thorn is painful. The thorn you want to escape. But I know that in your case, for your sake and for my glory and what I want to accomplish in your life, this thorn is an absolute necessity in order to keep you from becoming prideful and egotistical, and in order for me to accomplish my will and purpose in your life, the thorn stays. And what did Paul have to do? He had to accept the will of God. And you see, what I want you to understand is that God does want you to know his will. Sometimes he gives it early, sometimes he gives it late. But he will show his will. Now, what is the process by which you and I come to him and ask him, Lord, what is your will in this situation? How do we go about that? Well, let me remind you of three things here. First of all, three things are involved: the Word of God, the Spirit of God, and the Spirit of man. Now, let's look at this for a moment now, to watch carefully. The Bible is the revelation of God's general will. That is, all through the Scriptures, we see the will of God in two different fashions. One is that we see the very specific, clear commands of God. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not lie. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not commit murder. Thou shalt not covet. Love your enemies. Love your brother. Do good to those who have wronged you. Be forgiven. Commit your spirit. All of these things are very clear. Then there are those underlying principles that are not so clear to us, and yet As you relate them to the commands, they become clear. There are those very clear commands, those underlying principles. Well, the Bible does not say, John, don't marry Mary. But God does say, an underlying principle, don't be unequally yoked with an unbeliever. So there's the principle. So God uses His Word to reveal His will. He says, the entrance of Thy Word giveth light to my spirit. Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And so you and I understand that the Word of God involves that general revelation of God where He gives His general commands and His general principles for all people. Now, that's fine. The question is, how do I get that to identify with my specific need and my particular request? So God has not left anything unturned. So I want us to look at two or three scriptures here. Go back, if you will. I want to take you through these to John chapter 16. Listen to what Jesus is saying to His apostles. In the upper room the night before He is crucified, He said in verse 13 of John 16, but when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth. So the Bible says the Holy Spirit's responsibility is to guide us into all truth. Remember we read back in 1 John chapter 5, He says we have the witness within ourselves. The Holy Spirit came into your life to dwell within you, and He is there. One of His primary responsibilities is to guide us into truth. So we have the Holy Spirit living on the inside as our teaching guide. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, look there for a moment. In the second chapter of 1 Corinthians, Paul is speaking and he says in verse 10, for to us God revealed them through the Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, even the deep depths of God or the deep things of God. Verse 12, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that is the Holy Spirit, that we might know the things freely given to us by God. That is, the work of the Holy Spirit is to reveal truth. Then if you'll go back to Romans chapter 8, one of those most familiar chapters, he says in verse 26, and in the same way, the Spirit also helps our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we should, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. All right, now let's see what we have. We have, first of all, the general revelation of God, the general will of God as spoken to all mankind. Those clear commands and those underlying principles. Then we have indwelling us the Holy Spirit of God, whose responsibility it is to take the Word of God with His clear commands and His underlying principles and to interpret that for us in our behalf as it relates to the specific thing we are bringing to God. So it is absolutely essential that you and I are in the Word discovering what are the principles of Scripture, what does the Word of God say, and then allowing the Holy Spirit to take the truth of His Word and apply that to our own specific request that we're making. But there's a third thing involved. First of all, the Word of God. Second of the Spirit of God. And third of the Spirit of man. In order for that to happen, you and I must come to Him with the Word of God, allowing the Spirit of God to work in our heart. The last absolute essential is that you and I have a submissive spirit. That is, that we are yielded to the Holy Spirit. We are walking in obedience to God. We're allowing Him to control our life. So what does He do? The Spirit of God within you takes the general revelation of God and applies that to your particular need, whatever your request may be, and makes it known to you the will of the Father. Sometimes He will make that known quickly. Sometimes it's over a long period of time, but it is the will of the Father for us to know when we come to Him in prayer. And sometimes He may delay our understanding what His will is in order to accomplish something else in our life. But He says, this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that what we're asking is His will, we know that we have the petition that we desired of Him. So the truth is, most of the time, you and I should come to the Father knowing what we know about the Word of God, relating to the Holy Spirit as we can and as we do. It should not be very difficult for us most of the time to know the will of the Father when we come to Him in prayer, so that When we come with confidence and boldness and assurance, and we can come with expectation and anticipation that God is going to hear and answer our prayer. The revelation of God, that is the Word of God, the Spirit of God, and the submissive spirit of man. Those three are absolutely essential. He says, we are to enter the throne room. He says, we can come before Him with boldness, what? Finding grace to help in time of need. Boldness because what? Our boldness and confidence is rooted in our relationship to God through Christ. Our confidence is directly related to our understanding of the will of God about that particular thing that we're requesting before Him. And when we choose to search the Word of God and allow the Spirit of God to take the Word of God and apply it, those principles and those truths in the light of what we're asking, and our will is submissive to His will, God will show us His will. He will give us the wonderful expectation and anticipation that God will hear and answer our prayer. Now listen, you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. I don't even have to pray for you to say, Lord, would you save him if it's your will? Would you save her if it's your will? I know that it is the will of God for you to be saved right now. You say, well, how do you know that? Why is it? Well, it could be the will of God that I be saved 25 years from now because God says this in His Word. Behold, today is the day of salvation. That is, God wants you saved the moment you hear the truth, and the first time you hear it is the first time you ought to be saved. You want God to do a supernatural work in your life? Then, my friend, get yourself in the will of God and life of obedience before Him, and God is sitting already in heaven willing to answer our prayer. But He's not going to do it as long as I'm living disobediently before Him. Let me ask you a question. What is it that you've been asking God about that you know is His will? For example, somebody walks out and says, Pastor, I've been praying about being baptized. How long have you been saved? Well, I've been saved about 12 years. And I've been praying about being baptized. Stop praying and get baptized. Listen, when God tells you to do something, stop praying about it and do it. You see, this is the devil's trick. Well, I'm praying about it. When God says to you, this is what I want you to do, you stop praying about whether to do it or not and thank God and praise Him and pray for the strength and the wisdom, the knowledge and the understanding to do it and do it. That's what builds confidence and boldness and anticipation in answered prayer.
You're listening to In Touch, the teaching ministry of Dr. Charles Stanley. Remember, once you've prayed and God has given you direction, you need to thank Him for it and move ahead in His strength, doing what He's told you to do. To learn more about prayer or living a life of faith in Jesus, drop by intouch.org. And if you want to listen to this message again, just click on Today on Radio. And if you go to the bookstore page, you can order a copy of Dr. Stanley's complete message, Confidence in Prayer, or order his teaching set, Learning to Pray the Bible Way. You'll find these resources at intouch.org. Or call or text us at 1-800-INTOUCH. To write to us, address your letter to In Touch, Post Office Box 7900, Atlanta, Georgia 30357. Are you holding on to something that you know is outside the will of God? Hear Dr. Stanley's prayer for you just ahead in Today's Moment with Charles Stanley.
With the Third to Life Principles Bible Study, you'll enjoy a rich exploration of God's Word. Designed as a 90-day learning experience for individual use or in a group setting, you'll explore Dr. Stanley's 30 life principles and learn how to make the Bible a part of your everyday life because we can all benefit from a closer look. To order the 30 life principles Bible study, call 1-800-INTOUCH or visit intouch.org/store.
You've got to be willing to set aside time. That's a real victory.
Just imagine what it would have been like to look over Dr. Stanley's shoulder as he was spending time with the Scriptures. Dr. Stanley spent hours in preparation for his sermons with photos of his Bibles, resources, and handwritten notes. This new book will give you an intimate look into Dr. Stanley's daily walk with the Father. God Turned the Light On, Charles F. Stanley's personal Bibles, books, and notes. Available now. Go to intouch.org/store.
From the Pastor's Heart, is an in-depth teaching letter inspired by the teachings of Dr. Charles Stanley. To receive In Touches from the Pastor's Heart letter, call 1-800-INTOUCH or visit intouch.org/pastorsheart.
You're listening to In Touch. Disobedience will never bring contentment. Hear about the believer's only path of peace and joy in a moment with Charles Stanley.
What is there in your hand that you're holding on to, that you're willing to give up the intervention of the supernatural power of the resurrected Christ who is living within you? What is it that you're willing to hold on to forsake God's great expression of grace in your life? It is obedience that brings confidence, boldness, answers, anticipation, excitement, and joy, and the work of God in your life moment by moment, day by day. Don't forsake the best for something that is no more than shifting sand. Father, we thank you for your wonderful promise that we can know your will and walk in it, abide by it, follow it, be fulfilled in the process. Discover your contentment and your peace and your overwhelming joy. And surely when we know your will, there is a peace that passes all understanding. I pray for someone who is listening, that they might be saved today. Those who are wrestling with those issues in life that they've been holding on to for years and years and have never been willing to surrender, God grant them the wisdom to understand they're forsaking all for nothing. And I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Learn about prayer to God through Jesus Christ when you visit us at intouch.org. And if today's program has encouraged your relationship with Jesus, we would love to hear from you about that. Tomorrow on In Touch, many Christians end their prayers by saying, "In Jesus' name, amen." If you've ever wondered what that phrase really means, I hope you'll join us Friday for In Touch, the teaching ministry of Dr. Charles Stanley. This program is a presentation of In Touch Ministries, Atlanta, Georgia, and remains on this station through the grace of God and your faithful prayers and gifts.
And this is WCNO in Palm City, Florida, and it's right now 8:52, getting close to 9 o'clock.
Yep.
And so the morning is marching on.
It marches.
Morning is marching
yes, it
on.
Does. And in the boots, some are getting blisters, but we continue to go.
Yes, we have talked a little bit about blisters this morning. Yeah. And my indestructible rubber shoes that Dad bought, and they, after we got over the blisters, they're very comfortable. Up until gasoline ignited them,
yeah.
And they yeah. obviously were not... tested for fire resistance because that shoe blew right up and caught fire immediately. But you know, David, we do have when there is a fire, we could ignore it.
Mm.
We could say, we could say, well, get angry and throw gas on it. But then when you do that, it's going to affect you too. It's probably going to track back to the owner, just like
yep.
that little stream of gasoline did to my shoe. Or you could perhaps say, listen, if it's a fire from hell, then it needs to be put out.
Yes.
And yeah. we need truth, and we need the anointing of the Holy Spirit to address this. And Karen was talking about a family where the wife, who's a godly lady amongst a bunch of strongholds of the enemy, just took a stand. And we need to bring the power of God. We need to walk in the power of God. We need to walk in that anointing. And if the fire needs to be put out of the enemy, then let the Holy Spirit put it out. Put it out in Jesus' name. And I know there's different opinions, but whatever I've watched of the communication that was taking place on the campuses, I saw God putting a lot of fires out in a lot of young people's lives where they came, mm-hmm. they had confusion, they had issues, they may have been passionate. Sometimes they looked a little silly because they realized just how insignificant the arguments were that they had been taught, and it made them perhaps feel a little uneasy because the truth was exposing some things. But, you know, the friction, if you're going to be on the front line, you're going to serve God and you're going to make a difference, you're going to have to stand up. That's just where it is. If you're a man today, you know, normally it's a dad up day, you know, during the mornings, and need to stand up, men. Fathers need to stand up. Pastors, we need to stand up. Amen. I hear pastors saying, I can't preach this, I can't preach that, you know, because I'd lose half my congregation. Well, they're really not yours, you know. They're really not mine.
That's right.
You
yeah,
know, they're God's.
Yeah, they belong to God.
And I don't believe there's anywhere in the Word of God that says the most important thing I can do as a pastor is draw a big crowd. Mm-hmm. I really believe Reinhard Bonnke had it right when he said, plundering hell to populate heaven. We're on focus to build the kingdom of God and to populate heaven. And so we understand our mission here at WCNO.
Amen.
Give us a call this morning. This is Prayer and Share. This is one of the two times during the year when we come to you asking for your financial support. And some of you may listen part of the time. I think most people probably listen to more than one station. I know I do as well, occasionally. And so I would encourage you to ask the Father what he would have you do in reference to WCNO. And please prayerfully consider praying for us as a ministry and also joining us as a part of our team. And being a partner financially, make that call this morning. We've had some calls coming in. That's 772-221-1100, 772-221-1100. You also can go to the web, and we have many people that do that. I haven't checked the web in a while this morning, but I will check it. And you can go to WCNO.com, and you'll have opportunities there to give. And, of course, if you don't have the money to give this morning, you could make a pledge. And why don't you give a little explanation on that, Dave? The pledges work quite fine.
And my wife and I have done this several times. It's God put on our heart to give a certain amount of money to the station, but we didn't have it available right then.
All right.
But we knew God was calling us to do it, so we called in and said, we're going to pledge X number of dollars, and when you know, it comes in, we'll send it. And everybody here said, fine, wonderful. And so we got a letter acknowledging the gift in a return envelope. And when the time came, the money was in, we sent a check or a money order.
Amen.
Or we called them with a bank card. But point is you can tell us right now what God's put on your heart, and we'll all trust him together.
Amen.
That's going to come in for you.
That gets added right into our totals,
yeah,
right
exactly.
Into our totals today.
Immediately,
yeah.
As we say.
Immediately. Mm-hmm. Yep, that happens.
Yep.
That happens.
I've made pledges before because I'm too lazy to go to my wallet and get my card out.
Okay.
So I just go
you make
over.
The phone call. Yeah, it's not a matter of not having resources. It might be that, but it may not be that. It may just be that it's inconvenient at the moment to do
right.
that. So
you're
driving. You know, or into your day. It is getting close to 9 o'clock, so I suppose a lot of people are already kind of heading into your day already by 9 o'clock. I know some go to work at 9 o'clock or 8 o'clock, 7 o'clock. Surprising how busy the roads are in the morning around six
oh,
o'clock.
Man.
A lot of traffic. And everyone seems to be in a hurry to get wherever they're going. a lot of trucks. I see a lot of probably construction workers and such forth moving around. Cars very busy on the highway in the morning. And so we actually started some mornings. What it we tried 6:30 or something, and that didn't seem to work.
Didn't work.
I think
yeah.
The earlier travelers are in such a rush to get where they're going, they don't have time to make that call. But you do, perhaps now, at this time, this may be a good time to call. And I was not aware of the fact, but we were actually finishing off a matching fund this morning. we actually did that.
Whoa,
it was
okay.
$400, and so we far exceeded it, and it was mm-hmm. taken care of. I just failed to look at the paperwork from last evening as we closed the night out. But we are at $26,856 at this point. Moving along, we are working on the next what is it, $4,000, I suppose, something like that. or maybe 3,000, 3,144, I guess, looking to get to $30,000. That's our next real hurdle that we're pushing for. And so we're looking for your participation today, and every gift is going to make a difference.
Mm-hmm.
And Sherry was just sharing a little bit, you know, some of the calls coming in, some